This morning, I want to take a moment, though, as we begin, and remind us of four navigational points that help determine why and how we do ministry in this place. Let me quickly go over them. First one is God's Word is truth and our final authority. Second one, people's eternity is at the center of our mission. Three, a loving community is central to a believer's life. And number four, we were created for relationship with God. I want to use a compass this morning to help us remind us of those navigational points. On the compass, there are directions. In fact, there are degrees as well as the north, south, east, and west. But these are directions on a compass. The navigation points are not our vision. They're not really but they are navigational tools that we use to go in the right direction. Of course, there is a north and a south pole. Those are fixed spots that someone determined and called it the North Pole, and someone called it the South Pole. But those are destinations, but what I'm dealing with is direction. Now, there is the east and the west, and we don't have an east and a west pole, at least none that I know of. And that is why I'm glad that the scripture tells us in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, this is something to get excited about, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's not from point to point. It is from eternity, a separation from eternity. Because he's dealing with our eternity, so he has pushed those back, eternity past, so we could have an eternity future. But I want to take a moment and attach our navigational points to directions on a compass this morning. The first would have to be the north. I mean, that is what we typically gauge a compass off of, is the north. Our first navigational point, and I want you to read it with me, is this. God's Word is truth and our final authority. Say it again and say it with some meaning behind it. Ready? God's Listen to Hebrews 12 or 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active. It is not passive, it is not past, it is active, it is alive for today. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word is the only thing that is absolute truth. Everything you look at, you may say, well, that's metal. I don't know that that is absolute truth because I cannot tell you the total makeup of what's in here. It may be mixed with aluminum and what, I don't know. But I do know that the Word of God is absolute truth. Absolute. And today, we need to base our lives on it. Secondly, if I can move from the north, and if I go clockwise, we will end up on the east. And I want to attach the second navigation point to the east. Ready? Read it with me. People's eternity is at the center of our mission. Say it again. People's of our mission. Matthew 28:19. Listen. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In this passage, the key word is not going, but make disciples. The reason we go, the purpose we go, is to do what? Make disciples. People's eternity, where they end up, is the center of our mission. Why? To baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to bring them back to God. That is the center focal point of why we do ministry. If I move on to the clockwise again, I will go south and I'll use our third navigational point with this. A loving community is central to a believer's life. Read it with me. A community is central to a believer's life. One of the things the Bible teaches us is they will know our love for Him. How? By our love for one another. Listen to what Jesus says in John 13:34. A new command. Now, wait a minute. I thought we had 10 and I thought we had all the other laws. But Jesus is speaking something fresh to us. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must. So you must love one another. Boy, I tell you, if I get anything from the South, and please forgive me if this offends anybody, but I'm from the South, so I think I have a right to say this. Boy, they are a hospitable people down South. Now, I'll be honest with you, I came up here and I found it's not quite as hospitable, but I found competency here. But they sure are nice down there. Please, we may have to cut that out on the tape, Pastor Matt. I don't know who listens to this. No, but there is something about us being hospitable. Something, in fact, the Bible talks about the church being hospitable. There needs to be a deep love. If you are going to call yourself part of a believing community, love has to be central to who we are. Has to be. If I move on to the next direction that's on the compass, it would move us to the west. And this is the fourth navigational point. Say it with me. We were created for relationship with God. Listen to Ephesians 3:17-19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Tell me what that means. What does that mean? Talk back to me this morning. I'm sorry? He lives there. If Christ, that Christ may what? Dwell? Visit? Dwell. It's his home. And how does it become his home? By faith. Doesn't this sound like salvation? Doesn't this sound? This is what the writer is trying to, and I'm going to finish reading it in a moment, but you have got to catch that it is important that we have a relationship so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, do you hear that? May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Why? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants you full of Him. That is the relationship. Me and my wife, we get to the place where we're growing. We celebrated 20 years together, but we've really known each other almost 23 years. But I still don't always get it. It's not her fault, it's mine. What was the story about the man who was about to, he was on his deathbed, and if you ever seen him, and his eyes just popped wide open, and then he fell asleep into eternity. They say it's at that moment that the man finally gets it. I'm picking with you. We are and were created for a relationship with God. We will probably never achieve all the love we can give or receive from God. We'll never get it completely. But we continue to strive to grow in our relationship with Him. But to grow in that relationship, we need to have something that pulls our compass to the true heading. So we can get our direction. The first thing with a compass that you try to do when you're finding direction with it is that you want to identify where is north. That is one of the things. And how many have ever bought one of those cheap compasses? And you're going, that ain't north. When you're trying to identify, you want to use north as some heading. What navigation point did I give you for north? It's our God's word. It's our final authority. It is what we go to. What the church needs to do, there can only be, for Christians, you need to understand the true north is the word of God. But what pulls the needle to that direction? What is it that magnetizes or has a magnetic energy or a pull to the point of absolute truth? I want you to know it is the Word Himself who came in flesh and He dwelt among us. It is Jesus Christ that is that magnet that pulls us to the Word of God. You say, well, why? In fact, you need to understand that all Scripture is about Jesus. It is in Genesis that we see the first prophecy of Jesus. The Scripture says in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head." That's exciting. Of course, we get locked on a part, he'll bruise his heel. But the principle and what's being written here is that there is someone coming who will crush the enemy. It is Jesus. The Old Testament declares that we needed a Redeemer. And then it declares that God would send a Holy One to reconcile man back to God. And from Genesis all the way through Malachi, there are prophecies concerning the Messiah. The New Testament is a report by eyewitnesses that Jesus was the Messiah who came to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. And the New Testament reveals that now we have hope because God has fulfilled His promises and He has sent a Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And people who are seeking to find their way in life need to trust Jesus as their compass heading. The problem is, in many times in life, there are other things that will want to distract the compass. If I put magnets near this, it will mess it up. And the world will try to do that with us. But Jesus Himself tells us in John 14:6, when He answered disciples, He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." This morning you may have seen, if you entered into the backside of our parking lot there, the new sign that is up. And I just want to thank the 8th grade class from a couple of years ago. It's been ordered almost 2 years ago now. And we ran into all kind of problems. It got damaged on its way here and we had to send it back. And you know those battles that go on to who pays for what. Well, anyway, we finally received it, got it up. And I don't know if you've had the chance to read it, but it says, "Lead the way, learn the truth, and live the life." One of the things I want us to do is we want to lead the way to who? Jesus. I want us to learn the truth of His Word, and I want us to live the life of the Spirit. That's what I want us as a body of believers to come to, because we need to know that Jesus is our heading. In fact, it was mentioned to you about this tent meeting tomorrow night. I'll be honest with you. When they asked me, I'm like, you know, this is like 100% African-American. And I'm like, am I the right person? I mean, why would this little boy from Mississippi that God would ask me to be in this area, build that relationship to come down? But I want you to know, because of our navigation points, I am more than willing, because people are important. Their souls are important. And I'm willing to love them. I'm willing to step down there, because God's word is truth. And I want them to have a relationship, because every one of them were designed. You were designed when God formed you in the womb, when He made you in your mom's womb. Who did it? God did. Why? Because He longs for a relationship with you. He longs to spend time with you. And tomorrow night, I invite you to come out. Support what's happening. Support me, if nothing else. But tomorrow night, Pastor Ed has put together a little convoy from here, if that's what needs to happen, or whatever. But I invite you to come and be a part. Why? I'm going to preach the gospel tomorrow night. And I'm going to trust that God will use it. I don't know who will come. And I don't know who might leave when I get up. Thank God most of you don't do that here. So, but folks, I'm willing to be used. Oh, I said, guys, you really have the right person. I'm willing. You know what? They feel like they've asked me, and I'm going to step into that tent tomorrow night. And I'll do my best to present Christ to that community, so they can know the Savior of their soul. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I told you the title was to fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12, I want to look at verses 2 and 3 for a moment. It reads this way. In the New International Version, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, activate it into our lives today. Have Your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The author of Hebrews here, he is addressing the Jewish Christians who are being persecuted, and they're wanting to abandon this faith that they started in. They want to turn away from the truth. If you'll go and you'll read through Hebrews chapter 1 through 10, deal with Christ from the beginning to the cross, that He was the fulfillment of all prophecies. He is our great high priest. It deals with all the theological issues from the Old Testament. It is there because it is written to this Jewish community who was struggling. Is He the Messiah? And the writer definitely declares. And what he wanted them to do was to not get off direction. They were heading toward their great eternal home of heaven. But they were allowing things to distract them, and they lost their heading. I want you to know this morning that in Scripture, just prior to this Scripture we read, the person writing Hebrews gives us an illustration. An illustration about running a race. Let's read it for a moment. Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." That is the first verse, but I don't miss where he's heading. Verse 2, he says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." The writer is saying that each person is to set his or her heading to Jesus. It is amazing that when you're running a race, you need to know what you're heading for. In fact, I don't know about you, but I just need to watch my children, because they don't always pay attention to the direction they're going in. In fact, the other day, Addison ran right into a door because he was looking behind him, and he didn't keep his heading. He didn't know where he was going and lost track of it. In fact, that's probably happened to every one of us in here, where you have turned at the wrong time and there was an obstacle in front of you and you hit it. I'm sure that in Addison, he was hurt a little bit by hitting the door. It tends to happen. But it reminded him and me that we need to keep our eyes where we're heading, upon our destination, so we can see where we're going. Why? To avoid dangers. To avoid getting hurt. Today we have people who are hurt and they're in pain in their lives because they have quit looking to Jesus, or they never looked to Him. And I want you to know, you have an enemy who is against you. And he knows how to set traps for you. And as soon as you turn, you will fall into them, and you fall into sin. And all of a sudden, unfortunately, these people who crash in the doors of the world, you know, they wonder what happened. And they get hurt. And then all of a sudden, they begin to blame God for it. Listen, as a father, and I watch over my kids, and I warn them carefully about being careful of danger. In fact, I was riding with my second child now is learning to drive. And the other day, I was instructed as a father, I did not give her good direction. She didn't know where she was going, and it was a struggle. And it helped me. And thank you, sweetheart, she was like, I just had her in the car, and I'm like, turn here, go there. She had no direction, and it was harder for her. And so as a father, it helped me to realign and say, I want her to have a destination. I want her to know where we're going. And then we got back in the car, and last night when we were heading, I told you where we were going. It is our responsibility that as a dad, but much like a dad, our Heavenly Father does the same thing. He tells us, get your eyes fixed clearly on Jesus. In Hebrews 12:3, the author tells us that consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There are many today that are getting tired of the gospel. They're getting tired of the way. Let me tell you, church, the Bible tells us in the end times that even the elect can be deceived. I'm telling you today, be careful to keep your eyes on Jesus. Do not grow weary. Do not lose heart. This gospel that transformed your life can transform your neighbor, your coworker, your neighborhood, your community, your city, this region. God can do it. But we have got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. There are two ways to do things. There's the hard way and there's the easy way. How many want to do it the easy way? The rest of you want to do it the hard way? Don't do it the hard way. In fact, today I'm going to help you, because I want to make it easy on our lives. I'm not saying that life is easy, but let me tell you, the way to life is easy. The first step that we need to do, I'm going to give you a few steps here that will help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. First step is that we must remove obstacles from our lives. You cannot see where you are going if there are barriers in your life. If there are barriers or obstacles that keep us from seeing Jesus clearly. And simply, it's the sins of our life. We can't see Jesus when we get so fixated on our sin. For a moment, let me talk to you as a church. It is amazing to me still how many people who come to know Christ are still fixated on their sins that they did. I want you to know they are forgiven. They are forgotten by God. He will never, ever bring them up against you. The Father is not an accuser. The enemy is an accuser. And I want you to get fixated on the grace that has been given to your life. Don't get so fixated on, well, look what I did and what I've done in my life. But look what God has done. Look what God is working. That is turning and getting your eyes on what Jesus is doing instead of what you've done. So I encourage you as a church, to those as Christians. But there are others that maybe as a Christian or others who have not accepted Christ yet. You still have these barriers, these obstacles in your life. And you say, well, help me with them. Let me help you with them. In fact, let me help reveal them to you. Galatians tells us in 5:19-21, it gives us some of these things. The New Living Translation puts it this way. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're obstacles and they're not heading in the right direction. What sin is it maybe in your life that's preventing you from seeing God? Is it anger? Is it unforgiveness? Is it putting work before family? Is it placing your life before your relationship with God? Whatever it is, sin can block your view of Jesus. But I want you to know that all you need to do is confess your sins. 1 John 1:9, John records it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, get rid of the obstacles. Number two, to keep your eyes on Jesus, we must have some Bible study or quiet time with His Word. Paul writes for us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you remember a few weeks ago, I talked to you about this. I don't know how much you're working on training yourself. Training yourself to be godly. Training yourself to do the right things. The Word of God says we need that in our lives. Where do we get it? From His Word. What do? We take His Word. We hide it in our hearts so that what? We will not sin against God. So what we will learn by reading God's Word. Now, it's been said that the Bible stands for, the B-I-B-L-E, stands for basic instruction before leaving earth. Now, how many have heard that before? It's actually a pretty good thought. Why? Because it gives us a plan. The Word of God is the plan. So ask God to give you a fresh word every day. Read your Bible, read it for at least 5 minutes. There are many plans that will guide you through the whole Bible in a whole year. You've heard about them, but there's one that we offer here to help you. It's called Our Daily Bread. This is free to you. It is 3 months, and it's done fresh, it's new, it's not repetitive. And this is the June, July, and August edition of this. And in September, the new ones will be there. But church, I want to give you a tool. I want to help you. You need to get into the Word. You need to read something. That's it. I mean, come on, just read one. But you need to get that Word in you. You need to let it dwell in you. You need to have that Bible study time. It's how we get our eyes on Jesus. Really? Yes, because this is what reveals Him. This is what we learn. This is where we grow. When you read a scripture, start somewhere. But when you do, ask good questions about the scripture. Would you quote with me this morning, John 3:16? Ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not but have. When we read scriptures like that, one good question would be, what promise did God make to me in that scripture? What promise did God make to us in that scripture? That you could have eternal life. What a great, and you need to, as you read Scripture, what promises are there? Maybe you need to ask something like this: what example is there for me to follow? Or what commandment is there for me to obey? In that Scripture, what should we follow? Or what is a commandment that we need to do? We need to believe. For God so loved that He gave. If you believe, now there is an if there because that is man's choice. But the command, if you do it, you will be saved. So we need to ask as you read Scripture. I would rather you read one Scripture and meditate on it. Ask questions of God than to read four chapters and just say, I read. We need to meditate upon the Word. We need to read it. We need to let it work in our lives. Let it become active in our life. And then apply what the Scripture says. A third thing we need to do is we must pray. We must pray. Prayer is the other way that we draw near to Jesus and we keep our eyes on Him. Prayer is not just us communicating to Him, but Him communicating to us. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Hey, listen, if you want to memorize Scripture, this is a good place to start. That's the whole verse. Ready? We're going to try to memorize today. Ready? Everybody say the verse. Pray. Let's just try it one more time. Say the where it's found. First. Okay. You got to do something to put it in your mind. I'm trying to help you here. Ready? Let's do our reference and then let's quote the verse. And then maybe we'll try it with our eyes closed. Are you ready? Here we go. First. Okay, ready? Pray continually. Close your eyes and try it. Ready? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray. See, you're memorizing Scripture. But what does that teach us? What is the command there? What should I do about it? How do I apply it? When do I apply it? So what do I need to do? I need to talk to God. I need to do it all the time. I don't need to stop. I need to keep my eyes focused. Why? I'm running a race and I do not want to lose sight of my goal. We have got to pray, folks, and pray without ceasing. You need to be praying daily. Maybe this will help you. In the book of Acts, it tells us these are the acts of the church. Well, there are acts you can do for God. And here, maybe this will help you in your memorization and whatever. But acts for God, the A-C-T-S. A, you what? Adore God. That's how you pray. God, you are so good. I love you and you're wonderful. And then C, Lord, these things that are in my life, anything that is known, pour it out before Him and say, God, here it is. T, then thank Him, God, for what you're doing in my life. And then S, you bring your supplication to Him. Maybe it's requests for others or for your own needs. Lord, today, give me my daily bread. That's the supplication. So these are the acts that you can do for God. Adore Him. Confess your sin. Give thanks and supplicate. Ask of Him. Why? He says, you have not because you... He says, if you pray, He says, I hear you and I answer. We need to pray. You need to guard your prayer time. If anything the enemy would love to remove from you, it is your attention toward God. He'd like to remove that. I'm telling you, guard that time of prayer. Satan will use every device to cause you to miss a day if you can. And if you don't beware, distractions will cause you to lose your focus on the goal. And the goal is to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like, I need to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews wants to keep our compass calibrated so that Jesus keeps in the focus. Hebrews 12:2, let me read it again. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorned its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Everything that Christians believe is rooted in Jesus. Everything we believe is rooted in Jesus Christ, who for the joy of my salvation, it was you were His joy. You were before Him. His joy is you. Which one of us would consider being nailed to a cross, spit on, cursed at, and hung there and left to die, would consider that a joy? Yet in His death, there is victory. In His death, there is salvation. In His death, there is life. And now, where is He? He is seated in authority in heaven, and He holds all authority and power over all creation. That's why we need to get our eyes fixed on Him. He has undergone death so that we could have eternal life. Listen to John the Revelator. He writes what he saw. In Revelation 1, verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a blaze of fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his hand, right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades." Why would I not want to get my eyes fixed on Jesus? He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Prince of peace, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Why would I not want to look to Him? This morning I challenge you to make a step in taking your gaze off the world and getting it back on Jesus. Church, this compass every once in a while has to be recalibrated. I don't know if you knew that. It can be dropped and it can be damaged, and many times that it doesn't function and it doesn't get the right heading. Many times your life has been banged up, been dropped, and maybe your calibration is off. And this morning, God is turning us back. Church, I want to be careful and not try to be prophetic here, but let me tell you, I really believe the end times is not far. I'm hearing evil being called good, and good being called evil. Folks, we are right around the corner, and I do not want you deceived. I do not want you messed up. I want us to recalibrate ourselves and get our eyes on Jesus. I'll be honest with you, I hate the prosperity teaching. I'm not saying that God does not prosper, but I think our focus is wrong when we focus only on those things. Jesus is the author. He is the perfecter of my faith. We begin to put our faith in other things that's not Jesus, that's not His purpose, that is not His navigational points. Let's get Jesus and let's get magnetized back to His Word. Let's get in His Word. And then as we begin to direct ourselves, let's go for lost people. Why? Because they are the mission. They are the ones that we long for. And they're the ones that's the cry of His heart. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And oh, I want you to love. I want you to pour. For God is love. Oh, come, fill me. I want your fullness dwelling in me. Why? Because that is the relationship. That is what I was designed for. I have to recalibrate. Folks, I don't know where your focus has been. You can watch CNN, you can watch Fox, you can agree with one or the other. You can be torn apart by it all. But folks, I'm telling you, there is only one. Why? Because I don't want obstacles in my way. I want to look to His Word. I want to commune with Him. Why? He and He alone is my focus. Why would the writer write 11 chapters about who Jesus was and about all these heroes of the faith, and all of a sudden we could get focused on heroes and lose the one who is our hero? And that's why this writer in verse 2, fix, don't sway, fix your eyes on Jesus. So today I remind you that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life.